ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد today inshallah the last of our series on waking up for tahajjud. We began by talking about the importance of waking up for tahajjud, how this is a sign of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the one who wakes for tahajjud. We spoke the next day about the benefits of tahajjud and the rewards of tahajjud, and these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and Allah will give. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply said that if my slaves knew what I prepared for them, it would be a coolness of their eyes, shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put any limits on the reward that He will give, inshallah. And also that is the time when it is a specific time for the acceptance of dua. So therefore, I think this is enough, inshallah, to encourage us to never miss tahajjud in our lives. Last and final reminder is what interferes with the waking up for tahajjud and how to wake up. What interferes with the waking up for tahajjud is sin. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, I can't remember exactly whether it was Ibn Taymiyyah or Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, but one of them said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented me from tahajjud for 1 month because of a sin that I committed. Now obviously, if you look at the people we are talking about, these are great scholars. So obviously the kind of sin they would have committed is not some kind of thing which we talk about. But wala halam, whatever it was, for people who have high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the standard is very high. So therefore, even a small thing matters. Irrespective of that, fact remains that what is he saying? He's saying that Allah prevented me from tahajjud. Now, what is the meaning of Allah prevented? Means that tahajjud is a very special reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is permitting us into His court, into His majlis, at a time when He is listening and He is waiting to give reward. So therefore, this is a great honor. And this honor is not given lightly. This honor is given to people who yearn for it, to ask for it, to make some effort for it. All of us, none of us is free from sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover our sins and to forgive them. But at the same time, some effort must be made. So deliberately, one of the most common issues is what we see. The eyes are the windows to the heart. And what we see destroys the khushu in our salah. It destroys our salah itself. It destroys our tahajjud because of what we see. Now, I am not saying that everybody is watching pornography. We are not watching pornography. But unfortunately today, the television is such and programming is such that almost everything you see has some element of shamelessness and promiscuity and pornography of some level in it. So therefore, one has to be very, very careful about what you are viewing, especially with television, even more so with the internet, because in the internet, of course, everything is open and free. So therefore, very important to see what to be careful about what we see. So also refers to what we hear. Even if you just take a simple example, in India we had this Nirma washing soap. I'm talking about, this is in the 80s. So we're talking almost 30 years ago. This Nirma washing soap had one little tune that they used to, washing powder Nirma, some song was there. 30 years later, that song is still in my head. Now that's not a matter of my memory. It's a matter of the power of these things. One little tune that sticks, and the whole day it will go round and round and round in your head. So therefore, it is very important for us also to be very careful about what we listen to and what we hear, because things put doubts in our hearts. They put all kinds of haram stuff that we may Allah protect us from listening to that. But very important. So what we see and what we hear directly interferes with the khushu in our salah and directly interferes with waking up for tahajjud. So it can be positive, it can be negative, both. And that's the reason why the importance of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third point. Which is, first point is to keep away from all sin, and as I said, the most common are these, which we listen and we And the third one, of course, is what we speak. So, ghibat and slander and all these kinds of things, this is something we should be very careful and very clearly avoid all this. There is no need for us to do that. So, these three things. And then the second one, as I said, is that what we see, what we hear, what we speak can be positive or negative. I gave the examples of negative. Positive is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding ourselves of our akhirah, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of directly making zikr with your, you know, with your tongue or in your heart, where the heart is constantly engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important. So, paying attention to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night, all through our lives. As I have mentioned before, two major benefits of dhikr. One is it is protection against sin, because obviously if you are consciously making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will not commit sin. The dhikr itself protects you from sin because we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second big benefit of dhikr is it gives you confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, that I am conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it gives us confidence in terms of our lives, all the difficulties and so on and so forth are removed. One of the best of the adhkar is to send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, lot of durood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who sends salat and salam on me, the one who sends durood on me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salat and salam on that person 10 times. For each time you send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends blessings on us 10 times. So, this is one of the best of the adhkar, and I remind myself and I ask you, try to do this as much as you can. Don't sit idle anywhere. When you are driving your car, when you are doing something, read durood, lot of durood. The best of them is the durood Ibrahim, which we read in Salah, because this was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So, alhamdulillah, other forms are also there, but when you have the best, try to use the best, because that is obviously the best. So, therefore, let us try to do that. So, inshallah, waking up. So, this is what will help us to wake up. So, keep free from sin. Make lot of tawbah, that's another big thing. Make a lot of tawbah day and night. The Sayyidul Istighfar, which we know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who reads that 3 times in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he dies during the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins and give him the daraja of a shaheed. And if he reads it 3 times before he goes to sleep, if he dies in his sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the daraja of shaheed and he will forgive his sins. We all know this Sayyidul Istighfar. If you don't know, we should memorize it. So, that is a small thing. Inshallah, we should do that. Finally, what helps to wake up in tahajjud is to sleep early. Now, this is another big, illness, sickness. And if you look at the time we spend simply gazing at the, browsing the internet or whatever it is we are doing, you will find that 99% of the time it is completely wasted. I don't know of anybody who is, I'm not saying there's nobody, but there are most people, they do not spend that time productively. It's not as if when you're looking at the internet and time just passes, you will be surprised how quickly one hour will pass while you are updating your Facebook status or whatever nonsense that is done. So, avoid all that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, famous hadith of his where he said that after Salatul Isha, he said, don't even speak, just go to sleep. After Salatul Isha, we have created a culture where even our religious programs begin after Salatul Isha. Yeah, this is a shameful thing. I mean, I think as far as we are concerned and as far as, the people who organize these programs are concerned, they must have some respect for the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do you organize? We have in this country itself, we take permission from the police. But we organize a program after Salatul Isha. The program begins by 9:30 in the night and goes on till 1 o'clock in the night. It is on loudspeakers. All the neighbors, everyone is cursing us while we are sitting there and giving these great bayans and speeches about whatever it is that we are talking about. Even though the neighbors are helpless because you have taken permission of the police, so they cannot say anything. But certainly they are not sending blessings on you. Certainly the impression of Islam that is there in their hearts is not positive. Right? Who wants to be listening to some stuff on a loudspeaker at 12 o'clock in the night? There might be people who are elderly, people who are ill, people who are on some medication, they need to sleep. We have no concern for anybody. We begin our programs, we should refuse to attend programs that start after Isha. Start the program after, they say people don't come. People don't come because you have got them used to this nonsense. People will come. And if people don't come, don't do the program. Don't do the program. It's not a life and death thing. But seriously, we must refuse to go to programs which start after Salatul Isha. No Salat. After Salatul Isha, go to sleep. Between Maghrib and Isha, eat your dinner. After Salatul Isha, go to sleep. If you follow this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then waking up for tahajjud is very, very easy. Very easy. And imagine if somebody is waking up for tahajjud, he wakes up at about, say, 3:30 or something, according to our timing here. He wakes up at 3:30. And that person sleeps by, after Salatul Isha, if he is sleeping before 10 o'clock, right? So from 3:30 a.m. to 10 p.m., how many hours? Is 12 hours plus another, say 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock, is 12 hours plus another 7 hours. Is how many? 19 hours. Right? Even if he sleeps for 1 hour in the afternoon, let us say, 18 hours. 18 hours a day, if the person works productively, believe me, that person is the most productive human being that ever existed. And yet, he is waking up for tahajjud and he is sleeping by 10 without any problem. Now, I know in different countries, because of the time and this and that and so on and so forth, I'm not talking about that. In those countries, adjust your time accordingly. But for the majority of the world which lives in the kinds of countries we live in, all of this, I don't get fixated on whether it is 3 or 4 or whatever. But point is, if you wake up for tahajjud and if you sleep after Salatul Isha, you can still have a hugely, hugely productive day, provided you know what to do with your time. The issue is that. Issue is not the number of hours. So, stay away from sin, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sleeping early. Inshallah, if we do these three things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us tahajjud, and then the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ours to take from as we wish, because this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has those treasures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who does not benefit from his own treasures. Think about that. Every king who has treasures, that treasure is of benefit to the king. That is why they have guards on the treasures. The difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of course we don't ta'ala Allahu amsal, we don't need the misal of Allah. But the treasures of kings have guards on them. They prevent people from entering those treasures. Why? Because the king needs that treasure. But the treasure of Allah has no guards. The treasure of Allah is open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come and take whatever you want. However you want. Why? Because the treasure is of no benefit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is samad. He, nothing can benefit him, nothing can harm him. The treasures are for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, come and take it. No guards. We not only do we not have guards, we have people who are saying, please come, take the treasure, take the treasure, take the treasure. I am one of them. I keep saying, luto, Allah ka ma luto. Le jao. Allah ta'ala ke khazane ke lutane wale hai, alhamdulillah. Allah. Usko kisi ko rokne ke liye nahi hai, sabko le jao, kitna le jao, le jao. Dene wale ke paas kami nahi hai. We are the ones who are small. We are, our dua is small, our hearts are small, our hands are small. The one who gives has no limits. He gives without limit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us without limit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us without hisab and not to take hisab for what he gives us, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to take from his treasures to wake up in time for tahajjud. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to change our lives and change our timetables and change our lifestyles so that all of this becomes easy. And then on the day of judgment, we have no regrets, inshaAllah, when we stand before him, that we have taken the maximum that we could have taken and we have given it to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to take from his treasures and to give to the people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.